I'm Trevor Castle.
I'm Andrew Schneider.
And this is our Football Friday Night feature, the All-Decade Wrap-Up. And Andrew, I got to say, this is one of the most extensive and exciting projects that I've ever been a part of at KNIA KRLS. Been a great look back at the last 10 years of high school football throughout Marion County, and so fun to highlight the great things that our local kids have done.
Well, and not only that, it showcases our coverage for the past, 8 years now, since 2013, of the extensive wall-to-wall 2 hours before kickoff all the way to the hour plus after kickoff of coverage. It was so much fun for me, and this is my seventh season now. We just finished of high school football in Pella and Pella Christian, to catch up with so many of the athletes that I covered, so many of the incredible moments that I got to be a part of and share with our audience over the past 7+ years, and just to kind of highlight how great things are, not just from a personal perspective, but to see guys like Derek, who have been here much longer than I have, some of his memories, and to have some of our younger guys get to talk to some of those alumni who built the stage for what PCM's doing now and going to the Unidome and all those incredible things. And for us to have the highlights we do, the archive that we do, and to have the connections and relationships with these now young men, in most cases, since they're all alumni, really, I think, emphasizes just kind of that fun relationship we have. And honestly, the best part about my job, Football Friday Nights.
So it started, actually, tulip time of 2019. You and I were doing something very similar to this, sitting in across a table at each other. It happened to be inside the Big Red Radio. And ESPN had just announced that they were going to be, it was the 100th anniversary of college football, and they were going to be doing their all-time team and taking a look at, you know, top 50 coaches of all times, and I don't remember which one. We looked at each other as like, that would be really cool if we could do something like that for high school football in Marion County. And, you know, thinking on a big term, you know, all time, it's like, wow, I don't know, the 1970s lineman at Knoxville. And I think you said, well, hey, we're finishing up the decade. Why don't we do an all-decade team? And thus the idea was born. And then we start to figure out, okay, how do we put that together? And I guess I want to spend just a minute here, because if you go to our website and you put in Marion County All-Decade Football Team, you'll see the 26 features that we've done. And I wanted to make sure that we were – kind of strict to the task of, there's only one quarterback on a football field, and there's five offensive linemen on a football field. And so that's where we started. We put together an actual football team. And because of that, some people may have got left out that we'll talk about here in a moment. And I also wanted to say, okay, how do you compare, you know, a wide receiver at Twin Cedars playing eight-man football to a wide receiver at Pella, you know, playing Class 3A football? There's differences, certainly, in the game, in the level of competition. And so in fairness to that, we said, all right, we want to make sure that each team is at least represented with two kids on the team. And so those were kind of the building blocks that we looked at. Of our seven teams of Pella and Pella Christian, Knoxville, Pleasantville, PCM, Twin Cedars, and Melcher Dallas, leaving Indianola to the side because we've only picked them up the last couple of years, we wanted to make sure we had two representatives from each of those teams, and we wanted to make sure that we had the positions accurately accounted for. So that's where it started, and if you go to our website and you'll see all 26 features there, that's where it ended. Okay, so those are the 26 people. We're not going to talk too much more about the guys that made it, because we've highlighted them so much right over the last 13 weeks. But I will say, Andrew, there were some notable exceptions. I didn't do the count, but something like 20 or 25 kids that made first team All-State at one point over the last decade did not make our All-Decade football team. And that just speaks to the level of talent we've had in Marion County over the last 10 years.
Well, and it's how much our programs have grown. Obviously, Pella has always been a very good team, at least for the past 20-plus years with Coach McKinstry at the helm. But they obviously cranked it up to another level. They were the most represented on our All-Decade team, and will be on our honorable mention second team coming up here in just a moment. It's not only, you know, just the idea that first-team All-Staters got left off. We had some that were potentially all-time record-breaking athletes at their school that did not make this list. And that's it was tough. It wasn't meant to be a perfect representation. But to your point, we wanted to make sure that every corner of our county was covered, and to highlight some of the things we don't get to as often, like Melcher Dallas and Twin Cedars. We felt it was extremely important because they've had some great players over the years, and wanted to give them their representation and you know, make them feel a part of this. It's hard when you have a team that wins three state championships, another who won another in 2000. 2018, you have an all-time leading receiver. Some of those are obvious answers, right? Yep. But then from there, you have to build them and put them in positions, to your point, that fit them. I mean, we put a guy like Noah Treimer as our kick returner, and he was a great kick returner, but obviously it was more of the whole body,
correct,
right? Yep. Running back and at defensive back. And so those are just some of the examples of kind of the decisions we had to make. We also asked some of our coaches for some advice. Hey, especially some of those that have been here the whole decade or close to, guys like Greg Bonnet, Rich Kack, and so on. And then from there, pieced together a roster, like you said, that made sense. And so some people are like, well, hey, this guy only made it to Allstate once and he's at Knoxville. Well, yeah, because Knoxville maybe didn't have the same kind of success that Pella and Pella Christian did, but they had some great players too. And, yep, and a guy like Keegan Cox, the only active member on our roster that was added, was certainly deserving because of the season he had and the record-breaking season. We wanted to give all of our broadcasters that weight in the conversation, and we came up with a list of 26. It may not make everybody happy, but I think it was a great representation of what Marion County football was for the past 10-plus years.
And boy, oh boy, if you look at that team, what an absolutely loaded team that is. It you know, who knows what the future of Marion County football is, but you know, you go 50 years from now and we've got five more all-decade teams. I'll take the 2010 to 2019 all-decade team, I think, up against just about anybody. All right, let's roll into, we're going to call this our second team. Same rules apply. We did not break them down by position, but we wanted to make sure that each of our school was represented at least twice with our second team, or the honorable mention, if you will. And it's going to be pretty heavily weighted towards Pella and Pella Christian just because of the success and the talent that they've had over the last 10 years. But why don't you start with the Little Dutch and some notables here on the second team?
And we'll start with maybe I would call him the captain of the second team, Nick Finney. Obviously a tremendous season at quarterback. His partner in crime for what we'll talk about in a little bit, Ryan Van Wyk. Austin Schulte, who's had great success after high school, but obviously was injured his senior year. Seth Johnson, Lucas Warner, who is a great linebacker. Nathan Henry, Grant Gustafson, Nick DeYoung, who's also an Iowa Hawkeye, and then Aaron Downs, who didn't get to finish his career at Pella, but was certainly one of the more dynamic players that they've had, which is saying a lot in the past 10 years.
And then a Pella Christian, Alex Heisman, you know, just a force up front, just a beast. Dan Jungling, Sam Tweet, Kyle Nickel, you know, that's throwing it back to the early part of the decade. One of the first premier quarterbacks that Pella Christian had. And then Trey Hugan, probably another one of those notable exceptions. I mean, he and Nathan DeBrine was our kicker on the all-decade team. Just a great string of years of success kicking the football at Pella Christian. And Trey Hugan, certainly, you know, you could make a case for him to have been a member of the all-decade team, but a no-brainer as far as our second team.
Yeah, the two great kickers, both coming from PC. They've had a great resume there. We'll head just across the Red Rock Dam to Knoxville. A couple of very solid players for them. Connor Bailey's had some great runs and rumble and tumble run highlights from Derek Cardwell.
Yes.
And then Tanner Duncan, who may be better known for what he did on the track, but certainly a very, very good athlete and was a part of a very nice group of Knoxville athletes that kind of came up that middle part of the decade.
So, going to Pleasantville, Sawyer Phillips. He was a multi-year All-State selection at Pleasantville. It just when it came down to fitting in the positions, there were some other options. I don't even want to say better options, but just other options at the positions he played. Zeb Adrian, and then Patrick Sheehy was a big-time playmaker back in the Chris Krug era of Pleasantville football on KNIA KRLS.
Well, and Zeb also a tremendous baseball player who's
yes,
having a great career up at the University of Iowa. We'll head to PCM, who is our lone remaining team in 2020, but they've had some great players, obviously, with the run they had. Ethan Kane, Luke Greiner, Reed Worth obviously a very, very pivotal part of the championship team in 2018.
And for Twin Cedars, Brent Parker and Garrett Pettyjohn. Parker, a member of that Twin Cedars team in the middle part of the decade, and Pettyjohn, a great receiver in the early part of the decade for the Sabres.
Kenneth Wadley and Jacob Hawk of Melcher Dallas round out our roster as well. So 26 additional players that we could have done very similar features to the 26 we had. Our eight-man teams, obviously, with those two players each adding to those great rosters and the great rich tradition of Iowa high school football here in Marion County.
When the book is written on the 2010 to 2019 portion of Marion County football, there are some absolute, you know, no-brainer headliners, sub-headlines, things that need to be talked about. And that's where we're going to go next, looking back at this decade. And I want to focus on probably not just the play of the year or the decade, but maybe all time for Marion County High School football for a number of reasons. If you've been following along, you know what we're talking about. And Pella with 6, 5, 4, snap it. They're going to throw for the touchdown. Finney to the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown. Ryan Van Wyk, a 21-yard, 40-game
winning streak. Are you kidding me?
Touchdown.
40 in a row. How dramatic can that be? Holy cow, I've seen it all.
Of course, that was from the 2016 semifinals when Pella beat Cedar Rapids Xavier. Then the next week, they beat Webster City for their third straight state championship. And so while Nick Finney and Ryan Van Wyk could have easily made our all-decade team, but didn't, you know, Nick Finney behind Noah Klaberg at quarterback, Ryan Van Wyk, you know, his teammate Donovan Holterhouse made it, Levi Jungling, who graduated, you know, middle part of the decade as well, maybe the best, one of the best to have ever played in Iowa. I mean, just positionally, they were at the wrong position to make our all-decade team, but terrific players and combined for the moment of all time in Marion County football.
And the game. I know we're going to talk about that too. I had the unique perspective of those years, especially before I kind of took more on the sports coordinator role and the video rules changed up at the Iowa High School Athletic Association, of being on the sideline for all of those dome games and all of those playoff games from 2014 to 16. And I was right there. I was at the side of the end zone. I've got the video to prove it, right?
Yes.
Of that catch. And it was just one of the most remarkable moments I think I've seen, because of the nature of the game, a back and forth. That was the state championship game that year, ultimately, as it proved out, that the two best teams in 3A, and probably would have made a lot of noise, each of them in 4A with their style of play. Back and forth, Pella backs against the wall. One of my favorite interviews we did following up was with Nick, and he broke down that drive for me and talked about how he pulled Ryan aside as they were running down the field and said, "I'm going to you." And he'd let it rip. Just as they had that entire season, that was the team that they were. We may not ever see a passing team quite as efficient as that Pella team was among any of our teams, just because of the style they had. They had the 2 6-foot-5 receivers. Yep. It was just that perfect moment. And ultimately, the culmination of one of the greatest runs in Iowa high school football history. That was the tip of the iceberg, right? That was the top of the mountain for Pella football. And they may never get to that height again, but they've always got that moment. Coach McKinstry, I know that he's bugged you at the restaurants before, talking about how he's listened to that call and watched that video over and over.
Well, and here's why it's so important. The play was fantastic. The game, I could spend an hour talking about it. I've listened to it 10 times since. Neither team led by more than a touchdown in that game, and it was everything that everybody wanted it to be between the top two teams in the state. But why it makes it so important is 30 teams in Iowa high school football history have won back-to-back state championships. Okay, that's a fairly small number, but that's a lot of teams. And oftentimes it's, okay, a lot of, you know, talent from a junior year, win a title, come back senior year, and then it kind of falls off the map. There have been four programs, only four, in Iowa high school history that have had undefeated back-to-back-to-back state champions. Harlan, Solon, Regina, Pella. That catch is the difference between being a really good two-year run, an incredible two-year run led by an incredible group of guys. That catch is the difference between that and an all-time dynasty in Iowa high school football. That's how important that catch was.
Well, and don't even think about that year. Think about 2013 when they had a team that probably could have won it all, but it went the other way.
Right.
They had the injuries and they lost to Washington. The next season they lose the streak at DCG, but that loss is probably what propelled them to the state championship game that year.
Yep.
So that's just those little games. It's the game of inches, right? And Pella obviously was an all-time great run, that three-year window from 14 to 16. It could have been even better, which is, I think, so remarkable to think about in hindsight. But, you know, you'll take that moment as kind of that culminating 40 games in a row at that point, winning streak, and a memory that Pella fans that were there will forget. I think there was now 40,000 Pella
Correct.
Fans there.
Yes.
One of those, but I certainly won't, and I know definitely the members of the 2016 Dutch won't.
So as we continue our look back at the all-decade wrap-up, Pella versus Xavier and the catch from Nick Finney to Ryan Van Wyk, not only the best game of the decade, the best moment of the decade, and while Pella and Cedar Rapids Xavier certainly developed a rivalry throughout the decade, it was not the best rivalry rivalry of the 2010 to 2019 time period. That best rivalry was this.
This is what high school football is all about. Number one versus number two. Kak Marinsky tries on the right side. He will pull his way in for 2 points. The risky call by Riverboat Rich. It's 45 to 43. To the 43 of Regina. Kak rolling out to his left. Has time to throw. Looking downfield into triple coverage. It's intercepted. And this game is over.
Andrew Schneider and Larry Hessing live in Cedar Falls, where Pella Christian making their first ever trip to the Unidome, set to take on a team all familiar with this hallowed ground, the Regals of Regina. Here's the snap, third down, Conlon looking over the middle for Phillips. It's intercepted at the 40, down to the 30-yard line. It's Hayden Broom at the 25, has some blockers at the 20, and he is inside the red zone and maybe more as he bounces around and he's wrapped down at the 20-yard line. Pella Christian has the ball deep in Regina territory with 4:12 to go. Season on the line. The hold is good. The kick is up. Has the leg. No.
Shoot.
It's short. And the Eagle season will end once again in heartbreak.
It's week three action live on 92.1 KRLS. I'm Andrew Schneider alongside Larry Hessing. It's a clash of the Titans in Class 1A once again as the number eight Pella Christian Eagles on the road to take on the number one Regina Regals. Essentially an extra point. It is up and it is good. Nathan DeBryan puts Pella Christian on top, 24 to 21. 2:17 remaining in the fourth.
And that's easy to do after you win, I'll say that.
For the first time in school history, the Eagles partying hard on their sideline as they take down powerhouse number one, Iowa City, Regina.
And unlike the Pella Xavier rivalry, which I use the word a little bit loosely, but despite the game, there weren't a lot of great games. Pella shut them out in the 2014 semifinals. The championship game they played in 2017 was a rout in favor of Xavier. This Pella Christian Regina rivalry, it was down to the wire almost every single time.
Well, and the three highlights, that was just a small part of all those games. And you have the Xavier game as your probably best all-time high school football game to call. The Regina ones were mine. And unfortunately, the first two went the way they did. Pella Christian, a chance to win late in both, missed those opportunities, which, again, it goes to show. We talked about the Pella dynasty, how close they were. Pella Christian is probably a field goal in each game away from maybe being a two-time back-to-back state champion.
Yeah.
And they were undefeated in both of those seasons. That's how close they were, but it goes to show how hard it is, especially when you hadn't done it at that point. And those 2 years of heartbreak led to the 2018 team, which reminds me a lot of the 2017 Pella Dutch coming off of those 2 years. Still had some good players left over, but ultimately finally got that monkey off their back, and it was kind of fitting. Jaden Heisman and Nathan DeBryan, the guys who dropped those opportunities at the Unidome the year before in 2017, came back and were able to beat Regina. And those three games in particular, and honestly, there were some pretty good ones before that because they were in the same district.
Yes.
Prior to that. It wasn't as close, but Pella Christian had some early advantages in those games. Just a really, really great rivalry, and kind of interesting to see how it's kind of changed now in the new decade. But PC just couldn't quite, slay the beast and knock off that incredible team, which, by the way, those Regina teams did not win state championships that year, which I think was remarkable because I thought, especially in those two games, they were the best two teams in the state.
All right, so that's our best rivalry, Pella Christian versus Regina. The best team, we could probably sit here and debate this for quite some time, but I think the two finalists are pretty well narrowed down. We've had four state champions in the decade, and with no disrespect to the 2018 PCM team or the 2016 Pella team, it's either the 2014 or 2015 Little Dutch, who had many of the same characters. You had a Garrett Jansen on the early team and then graduates, and then you start to see, Finney and Van Wyk and company as juniors on that 15 team. You're probably splitting hairs. It'd be a hell of a matchup if those two teams could find a way to go head-to-head.
Well, especially because I think when I talked to the all-decade players, 2014 was probably the better defensive team, where they were really reliant As much as Noah Clayburgh made the big plays, they had a lot more close games. Carlisle, even Knoxville was a 28-0 kind of slugfest where they really leaned on the defense, whereas 2015 was watch the scoreboard light up kind of year where the offense had taken that next step. So that would be the interesting clash, right? The 2015 offense versus the 2014 defense. You're right. You're splitting hairs. Both teams were incredibly dominant. 2015 to me had an air of certainty to it, though. It was just incredible to kind of see when you knew you had Noah Clayburgh and Will Warner and Payson Vandaloon and all those guys back from the year before. 2014, they were just coming off that heartbreak. Yep. And my first season here, losing to my alma mater, Washington, in that game, losing a guy like Nathan Clayburgh, who another all-time great player at Pella High School, there was an air of uncertainty, especially when they barely beat Carlisle and you didn't know just how much better they were in 2015. That's where I want to give a small edge. 2015, you knew they were better than everybody. And they proved it each and every week.
All right, let's talk about our team captains, the one player, the best player at each school over the past decade, and the best player in the county of all time is our first one at Pella, Noah Clayburgh.
Oh, and you're going to hear that and heard that in our feature that Noah, we named him officially the captain of the all-decade team. There have been some tremendous players, but no more game-breaking athlete, and nobody who changed a program more. Pella was a very good team for many, many years. Then they got Noah Clayburgh and became an all-time great.
Levi jungling at Pella Christian, slight edge over his classmate David Kaczmarinski.
When you have an all-time record, that's the only thing I think that you would say you got the all-time record. And Levi, I think, showed the game. I go back to his Mount Air back in 2016 when David was lifted for a targeting call, not a great call, but obviously he missed the game, and Levi comes in at quarterback, I think, threw for three touchdowns. I mean, Levi was just that. Not that David wasn't, but Levi was just that one-of-a-kind special player that few coaches will ever get to see in their career.
PCM, their 2018 championship team, had a really high-octane passing attack with Reed Worth at the helm, but it was set up because of what Wes Cummings did at running back. Wes Cummings is our captain of the PCM Mustangs for the past decade.
And that's, he probably fits the mold, and what a great feature John was able to do with him, and Wes so well-spoken about those teams in particular 2018. For being a guy who's in there knocking out heads with linebackers and defensive backs at that second level, just a very sharp kid and certainly just an ability to control the game. That's what PCM football has always been about with Coach Bonnet. Is we could talk a lot about Reed Worth and what they did, but they run the football first, and they're just gonna grind you down.
At Pleasantville, a slight nod to Hunter Tyree over Cale Anthony, probably because of the sheer versatility that Tyree brought. He made our all-decade team as the punt returner. It's clearly a great wide receiver / running back, kind of Swiss Army knife, and did it on the defensive side as well.
Yeah, he was one of those few, and I got to call a I think three of Tyree's games from when they played Pella Christian all those years. Just one of those few players that you could fit anywhere on the field, and that's what I think would give him the edge. Is, like you said, he was a very deserving punt returner. I can't remember how many scores he had in his senior season just as a punt returner, and then on top of that, a dynamic running back / wide receiver on offense, and then in that back line of the secondary.
Our other team captains at Knoxville, Brock Cavanis; at Melcher Dallas, Chase Wetterling; and then Big Country Jake Crozier at Twin Cedars.
Yeah, and that was a fun entry, I think, that Derek got to do with Jake. Just very much a Twin Cedars bussy guy, a very, very big guy. And when you're an eight player, Jake could have done what he did at Pella and at Knoxville and at those bigger schools. But just imagine that on an eight-player field. You got that big train coming at you.
All right, best improvement of the decade, and it is kind of springboarded itself into what we're going to hear tomorrow night with John Mowinkle at the Unidome. What Greg Bonnet has done building a PCM dynasty has been fun to watch.
Well, and Greg's got an interesting story, coming from where he did at Dowling and kind of formulating his own program here, kind of breaking it out on his own here at PCM, a school that has had some great athletes. We talk about NFL draft picks, and we talk about what Coach Lawrenson has done with the basketball program, and that's kind of what they were known for. And then Coach Bonnet comes in, and he has built a program that is sustainable in Class 2A football. They're kind of in that crossroads of Iowa where they're not a small school, but they're not really a big school. 2A is such a unique thing because I think that's the class that has the most movement when it comes to class and growth. And they've built something incredibly sustainable, and to a point now where, regardless of what happens over the next 2 weeks with PCM, they have something that next year they will very much be in that same position. That's hard to say in Iowa high school football, and I know Pella got to that point. It took him many years, and Coach Bonnet in just 2012 on has really turned PCM into something that is sustainably good, and it's year to year the formula doesn't really change a whole lot, but that's not criticism. It's because he's built a program that works. He knows what athletes he has, he knows what he can build, and that is sluggy in the mouth on offense and just tremendous defensive scheming. Very few teams score on PCM for a reason.
And let's close out our look back at the all-decade wrap-up with a sneak peek to what hopefully 10 years from now we can do it again in the 2020 to 2029 all-decade team, just as there were guys that we featured that played in 2010. I can think of two of the pieces that I did with Josh Pringle and Chris Banstra from Pella High, and there were others in the early part of the decade. We know that the next all-decade team will have guys that were on the field this year, next year, and some of the early leaders, as I look at that, you know, just what you talked about, what Greg Bonnet's built at PCM. Augie Stock, let's remember, he's just a sophomore. I mean, he could be the Noah Klaberg captain of the all-decade team next time we do this. Aiden Anderson, let's not forget what he brought to the field before his season-ending injury. A couple of guys from PCM. And then I look here in the Tulip City, Cody Heisman and Luke Mulder, two linemen, two-way guys for Pella and Pella Christian that were just absolute game-changers for both of those programs.
Yeah, and Cody and Luke, I think what's going to be interesting, because we're at that turn of the decade, it's only right the cutoff that we have to do. Yeah. They've had remarkable careers. They have the opportunity, I think, to do a lot of special things at the next level. Cody already making his commitment to North Dakota State. And then Luke Mulder, I know, has gotten a lot of good looks. But two really fun defensive players. And obviously, after years and years of those great offensive players at both schools, it's kind of fun to see guys really dominate on that other side of the football.
And in Warren County, we don't know how we're going to do the all-decade team 10 years from now, whether we have the Marion County team, the Warren County team, one big team. But a couple of guys that have made some headway in Warren County, Cale Kolarik, the junior, so he's got one more year to kind of stamp his imprint fully at Indianola. And Max Juergens just had a great senior year quarterbacking Norwalk.
Yeah, the two of them obviously a part of programs, and you know, in Max's case, kind of an in-between era for Norwalk, where they were some of those teams that Pella clashed with in the playoffs. Yep. for many years, and obviously Coach Patterson, I think they'll be back and have some success. So we don't want to lose Max in kind of the shuffle, because he might be, because of the Norwalk teams of 2025 when they're playing Pella again in the playoffs. And then Cale Kolarik, I don't want to say single-handedly because they have an offensive line, but he was the guy who kept Indianola in all of those games against top 10 4A teams. And you know, if the Indians are going to succeed, they need more guys like Cale Kolarik.
Well, here's the wrap-up of our all-decade team. It's been a fascinating and fun project to be a part of. We hope you as listeners have enjoyed it over the 13 weeks, you know, not taking away from what happened in 2020 itself on the field, but able to look back and springboard forward. Andrew, love being a part of the coverage. I know that just like myself, you know, you're ready to get to basketball season, but every August when football season cranks up, it's the most exciting time of the year, and it'll be here again before we know it.
Yeah, I love basketball, and I love the coverage you do with that, and I enjoy our baseball, softball coverage in the summer and our spring sports. I'm excited for those to return this spring, assuming they do. But there's just nothing like that, like you said, that feeling in early August when you know the kids are coming back to school, and you drive by the football fields and you see them clanging pads again. And it's kind of sad to think that this fall is over for most of us, and we really are excited for what PCM is going to be able to do, hopefully in the next 2 weeks, and add to this incredible legacy, kicking off the decade in a big
yes.
way. But certainly there is nothing quite like football Friday nights at KNIA Careless and in Marion County in South Central Iowa.
For Andrew Schneider, I'm Trevor Castle. Our all-decade wrap-up, football Friday nights on KNIA Careless.